First of all, I'd like to thank Dr. Barrett for this opportunity to speak to you this morning. And I also would like to thank the brethren in the church for their commitment to Christ and their love for the Savior. It's a privilege to have a school to train men to preach the gospel. And Greenville is truly a blessed church, a mother church. And I consider it a real privilege and honor to be training for the gospel ministry. And I would just encourage you to keep your vision clear and your love for Christ strong. And it's a real privilege for me to speak here this morning. And as I was debating on what to speak on this morning, I thought it would be appropriate to bring my testimony to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. And hopefully we'll bring glory to the Savior this morning. My name is Ron Barnes. I'm the oldest of six children. I come from a family that was, for the most part, Roman Catholic. My mother was an Irish Catholic woman who came from a very strict background. And for most of my younger years, she was my teacher. She was my spiritual leader. She loved me, but she didn't know the truth. She tried to do everything she could possibly do to raise me as she knew how, in the fear of God, as she knew the fear of God. But she tried, but it wasn't the truth. It wasn't the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My father was more or less just a nominal religious person. He really didn't have an affiliation with anything. He was a good person, good moral man. I had a very good upbringing as a child. My mother and father did everything for their children, almost to a fault. But as I look back, I was really fortunate and blessed to have parents who loved me, who cared for me, and I felt safe at home. It was truly some common grace. Even though we were not believers in Christ, there was common grace in our home. And I think that every child in my home, my brothers and sisters, would testify that they did have a good upbringing. But as I was growing up, I had a rebellious streak in me. I had a problem with obeying my parents. And it was strange because I would be disobedient at home, but I would try to be good when I was out in public, and it was a twisted obedience. And but as soon as I got home, I would challenge the authority of my parents. It was probably because my mother was the leader and my father wasn't, and it was a twisting authority there. But I tried to get away with a lot of things at home, and I wasn't very good. And when I was about 12 or 13, I really came home one night, and I was mischievous. I was not behaving myself, and my mom and dad called the police. And they never showed up. I was scared to death because I thought I was going to jail. But my mom and dad called the police, and it just struck me. You know, what have I done? What have I become? Look how far I have degenerated from being a human being, obeying my parents and doing what I was supposed to be doing. And that really struck home to me, and felt that I was not a good boy. I was a bad boy. And that kind of haunted me. So what I wanted to do was to try to be good. I tried to do everything I could in my power to be good. And in the Roman Catholic system, they have many things for you to try to be good. So I tried to do good things. I tried to say my rosary every day. I tried to go to confession. And I did. I did these things. And there was a temporary relief from this guilt, this reality that I was not a good boy. But after a while, these things would just fade away, and they wouldn't last. I didn't have anything that I could really... I didn't have a peace. I didn't have a peace in my life. And I was struggling, and I was trying to do everything. I became the president of my youth group there. And people began to respect me, but I knew that something was missing. I wasn't complete. I just didn't have any assurance. And I was acknowledged and recognized in the Catholic Church as being one of the, premier youth in the church. I was wanted to become a priest. I wanted to pursue the religious life. And I started preparing myself mentally for that. And I wanted to attend the seminary. And I was a devout Catholic and committed to the Roman Catholic Church. And that was, for the most part, my first 16 years of my life. And it wasn't until I went to public high school that I met a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. His name was Mr. Paul Gardner. And he was not only my friend, but he was my coach, and he was my teacher, and I loved him very much. But I still was a Roman Catholic. And but I knew that there was something different about this man. He had a spark about him, a shine to him that these other people didn't have. And that just drew me to him. And so I was just naturally gravitating to him. I had much respect for him. And he one day invited me to go to an FCA meeting, which was a Fellowship of Christian Athletes meeting that we had in the morning. And I said, sure. I mean, I feel safe around him. He doesn't intimidate me. And I really respected him. So I went. And I didn't even know what an FCA was. I didn't even know what they were going to do. And I showed up, and here everyone had a Bible except me, and I was just sitting there, and I felt like I was out of place, didn't fit in, and I certainly didn't fit in because I wasn't saved. I wasn't a believer in Christ. And Mr. Gardner started to expound the Scripture and started to teach the Word, and he started in me an inquiry. I started to seek after Christ. I wanted to know what the Bible said, not what people said, not what the church said, but what thus saith the Lord. So the Lord used Mr. Gardner in my life to begin the seeking after the Lord Jesus Christ. And at one time, many, many meetings after this, I was going to every meeting, and I was really into the Word and focusing on the Lord and listening to Mr. Gardner. He asked me to go to a gospel meeting at a local high school. And I didn't think much about it. I said, sure, I'll go. But when I got home, I told my mother that I wanted to go to a gospel meeting, and she looked at me and she said, Why go to the gospel meeting? You go to church every Sunday. And I said, well, this is Mr. Gardner, my history teacher. And I talked to her at length and started to she started to come around to consider letting me go. And I said, Mr. Gardner is my coach, my teacher. I have a lot of respect for him. He's done me very, very well and almost every part of my life. I just want to go see what this meeting's all about. So she allowed me to go. And that was a real breakthrough from the Lord, because my mother was a very strict Catholic, and she did not feel that we should go to these Protestant churches, because she comes from the old school, and the Protestant church was the enemy. But I didn't mention church. I didn't mention Protestant. I didn't mention anything affiliated with that. And I just wanted to keep it as simple as I could. And she allowed me to go. Well, I attended the gospel meeting, and this preacher preached on the cross. He preached from Matthew 27. And if you want to turn there with me in your Bible. And as I reflect on how the Lord drew me to Himself, this verse really, this was the first prominent verse that stuck in my mind before the Lord saved me. This is really one of the main verses the Lord used to begin this drawing. 27, verse 54. And this man read most of the chapter, well, most of the second half of the chapter. And he came to verse 54, and all he did was read the Word. He didn't expound on it. All he did was just read it. And this really struck me. Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And that verse just struck at my heart when he read the verse. And I began to ask questions. I began to think about what that meant. And the Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but not in this way. Not in a way that you face to face confrontation with the living God. And this is where I was really brought to. I was face to face with the Lord for the first time, I felt. And my heart got stirred up. And the Lord really spoke to me in that verse. But it was a combination of things. It just wasn't that verse. It was at this time that we had a visiting parish priest come to our church. And his name was Michael Sullivan. And Mr. Sullivan preached in a way that most priests didn't. I never heard preach. He preached, I don't know if you want to say the gospel, but he said enough to get me interested in seeking after the Lord even more. And I went to a meeting one time where he was preaching, and he didn't say anything. All he did was open the Bible, and he opened to John 3. If you would turn there with me. John 3. He just read the Word. Now, he started elaborating on the Word. That was where he went wrong. But he just read the Scripture. And again, this is just the Word of God going in my ears and just kind of filtering down and working in my heart. And he read verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." And these are the words that he read. Now, they were a little different. He read from the Douay Rheims Version, not the King James Version. But the word "born again" was in the reading. And again, that hit my heart. And I did not know what that was talking about. I did not know, not only intellectually, but experientially. I didn't know what that meant. So you can imagine that I was asking Mr. Gardner all these questions. I was bombarding him with questions as these things were going on. And it was one night when I was at another meeting with Mr. Gardner where the man was preaching on the resurrection, and he was preaching with power, and the Holy Spirit came down. He was preaching on the blood. And I was sitting there, and my heart was just drinking it in, and I could see with all the turmoil that I was going through, wrestling with my sin, wrestling with my background, the Lord Jesus Christ came and revealed Himself to me at that meeting. And I went down with Mr. Gardner to the place where the preacher was, and I talked to him, and Mr. Gardner was there. He sat with me, and he was the one that led me to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it was not only he, it was a combination of things. And the Lord is sovereign in salvation. The Lord brings people into your life and circumstances into your life to draw you to the Lord. And that's exactly what He did. And I could say that night I had a peace that I was longing for. That void, that emptiness that I had was filled. And I rejoiced in the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. But after that, I was still in the Catholic Church. I still attended the church, but I was very, very frustrated. And I was not pleased at all with what was going on. And one night in my room, I had a desk there. I had a big crucifix above my desk. And on the crucifix was a big image of this person who was supposed to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was reading Deuteronomy 5, verse 8. Turn there with me, please, if you would. I was reading through this. See, again, the Lord was having me go into His Word. I was reading the Word and meditating on His Word. I was reading at the desk and came to verse 8. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Those words were like an arrow that pierced my heart. And I looked up at the crucifix and got real mad and real jealous for the Lord. And took the image of this person off the cross and threw it in the trash can. And, next day my mother started cleaning around and looked in the trash can and saw this image, and she thought I had gone, I had become possessed of the devil, and thought he had just lost everything. You know, he needs help. He needs help. And called the priest. The priest came over. Before that, I was at school. I got a phone call. My mother says, "When you come home, you will talk to the priest." And so I said, "Oh boy." So here we go. So I went home, and I was just praying, "Lord, just help me to talk to him and tell him, you know, what I did." And my priest was there, and he talked to me. What's going on? What did you do? Why did you do this?" And I told him. I pointed him to Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 8, and said, "This is as clear as day, isn't it? I mean, do you have to? As long as you understand the English language, you know what this means." And he said, "Yes, but you have to understand, when you read the Bible, you can't take the Bible literally all the time. You have to understand that the Bible, a lot of it is just man's imagination, that he came up with these stories to try to reach people. And it's not, some of this is, it's not fairy tale, but it's just stories that men have come up with through the ages to try to express a moral lesson or a good lesson to people." So in essence, he was telling me that this is not the Word of God, but it's just a compilation of ideas of men. And just, he kept going on and saying that Noah wasn't a real story. It was just a made-up imagination, figment of a man's imagination to reach simple people. And he just kept going on and on. And I just sat there. I could not believe what I was hearing. I became really mad. But I had respect for this priest, and I didn't argue with him. I was young. I was a babe in Christ. But I knew he was wrong. And I knew that from that time on, I had to leave the church. And at this point, I was telling Mr. Gardner. And Mr. Gardner had a real burden for me. And he knew my situation. He knew my mother. And he knew that only a divine intervention of the Lord could bring peace into our household. And he prayed with me. And Mr. Gardner, he just showed a real interest in me, and didn't judge my family, didn't come down and blast my family, my mother, because of her beliefs, but just was patient and long-suffering. And eventually the Lord opened my mother's eyes. And, you know, it was a real miracle to see that, because my mother said all the time that she was born a Catholic and she would die a Catholic. And it was very little human hope there. But the Lord is gracious, and He is sovereign. And in His timing, He saves His people. And it was really, I believe, the right time, the Lord's perfect timing, that He saved my mother. And He eventually saved my father. And He's done a work in my whole family. My brothers and sisters love the Lord Jesus Christ, and love to serve Him and be with God's people. But that was one of the fruits that came after the Lord saved me. I tore down the graven image. But I also began seeking the Lord with all my heart. And I was raised in a home that was sports-oriented, very, very sports-oriented. My father always would practice with us sports, and he spent a lot of time just playing with us and spending time with us. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saved me, my interest in sports really diminished. And I remember my senior year, it was supposed to be my best year, but it was my best year, but not according to a lot of people. The wrestling team, I was on the wrestling team, and the wrestling team was predicted to be one of the best teams in the state of New Jersey. And I was part of that team. I was an important link in that team's success. And it was at that year when the Lord was doing all this, and He saved me. And I wanted to just seek the Lord Jesus Christ, and I decided not to go into this sport for my senior year. And people thought I was crazy. They thought that I had become just not thinking clearly. But I wanted to just give my whole heart and mind to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, I no longer kept company with my friends. A lot of my friends were on the wrestling team, and I slowly separated from them. And the Lord Jesus Christ became my focus and my energy and everything. I wanted to know more about Christ. And he filled that hunger, and he never disappointed me. But the fruit of being saved, it's evident when the Lord Jesus Christ does a work. There's a radical change in your life. There's a radical change and break with your friends and with organizations. And as in my own life, with the Roman Catholic Church, we left the Roman Catholic Church, trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ would show us the way. And He did show us the way. We attended a very conservative Baptist church for a while, but we were so young in the faith, and we didn't understand a lot of things. It was just too much at that time for us. We decided to attend a Reformed Episcopal church. The Reformed Episcopal church had a liturgy, and as Catholics, the Roman Catholic Mass, the Roman Catholic liturgy, we were so used to that. So we needed something that would, I think, slowly bring us away from that. And the Reformed Episcopal church was a liturgical service, but it was the way the Lord used to just slowly bring us to maturity. And we spent 4 or 5 years in that church. And then we also, at that time, attended the Reformed Baptist Church after the Reformed Episcopal Church. So we were in Reformed circles, and we were hearing the doctrines of grace. Well, you didn't really have a wrestling. I know I didn't have a real wrestling to come to terms with the doctrines of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ just revealed them to me by being in the company of believers that believed in them and trusted in them. And it wasn't until we came in contact with the Free Presbyterian Church that we really began to grow and mature in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dad was listening to the radio station coming home from a church service and heard Pastor Greer on the radio. Pastor John Greer is our pastor up in the church in Malvern, Pennsylvania. And we heard him speak from the Scripture. And the Holy Spirit was clearly, evidently upon the man. He was preaching Christ and preaching with power. And we were really drawn to that kind of preaching. And we decided to attend the church. So we showed up that day at Newtown Square. It was before we moved to Malvern. And it was a house with a building on the side. If anybody, I'm sure there's some brother in here that remember that house church, and we were kind of taken back because we didn't know what we were getting ourselves into. If sometimes you have impressions of a house church, you know, are we getting involved in a cult or sect or something like that? But we just wanted to hear the word. We didn't care what the building looked like, though it did strike us at first. And we went inside, and very small congregation. Maybe 15 people. We went in there, and they saw all these kids coming in, a family of eight, sitting in the back. Pastor Greer was there, and you could tell he was excited. And that day he preached with power. And we knew, I think everyone in the family knew that this was the place where we finally have arrived. We finally found a church that preaches Christ with power. And we were so happy. And we saw the little church grow and grow and grow from about 15 to 50 and then maybe to 65. And then we had a problem with our building being able to hold the people. We were jammed, packed with people in this little building. And I tell you, it was a great... Those were some of the greatest years of my experience as a believer. Small church, 65 people, and everyone wanted to hear the Word of God. Everyone wanted to meet with Christ in prayer. And I remember many meetings after the service, men would go upstairs into this little room. And this is really true. This actually happened. This is not something I'm making up. We went up into this little room and we'd pray for hours. We would pray for hours. We'd have 2 hours of prayer. And it seemed like 5 minutes. And brethren were just seeking the Lord, pouring their hearts out. Prayer was evident. The Holy Spirit was moving. Pastor Greer came in after he spoke to the brethren. He came upstairs and he was praying with us. And he was weeping many times and praising the Lord for what He's done. I really believe that we had a little revival at that time. The Holy Spirit came down and blew upon that work and gave us a real love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it kept growing and growing. And finally, we were so big that we had to move to another building. And so we prayed about it. We prayed about it. We didn't know what to do. And Mr. Bill Ruppner, a good brother in the church, a friend of my father, was driving by, going to church, driving by this church one day. And it was that day, I believe, they put the for sale sign up. And Mr. Ruppner drove by it and saw it and told Pastor Greer about it. And I think it was Monday they inquired about it. And Wednesday or Thursday, we made an offer. And Saturday, I think it was... they accepted the offer, and just like that, we got this building in Malvern, a much bigger facility that we could have more Sunday school room and plenty of space. And we thought for sure this would be big enough. But now the Lord is blessing in such a way we need a bigger building, and the Lord is really moving. That building seats about 200-250 people. And the place is jam-packed. I hear from my dad and from other brethren in Malvern, the Lord is just bringing visitors in and people are staying. And there is a real hunger for the Word of God. And it's due to the Lord's servant in that place. Pastor Greer loves Christ with all his heart. And his whole focus is to do the work of Christ. And he's not preoccupied with anything else but Christ. And... I just thank the Lord for His servant in that place. And as I was growing and as I was being in this company with the brethren and seeing the Lord do the things that He was doing, the Lord spoke to my heart about the ministry. And I would like to share with you the verse that the Lord used to call me to the ministry. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. First Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. Just a little background to this of what's going on in this chapter. David has come back with his men to the city of Ziklag. That's where he and his family were staying. And he came back and his family was gone. The city was burned. And he was in great distress. Verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed." He was really discouraged. He was downcast. He just didn't know what to do. He was a man who just completely threw himself on the Lord as to what he was to do, his direction to go. And the Lord really spoke to me in this word, from this word. And it wasn't from a message. It wasn't from a Sunday school lesson. I was just reading through the Scripture. During some of my personal time, and I just felt a real longing, I felt real drawn to this chapter constantly. And I was thinking about something the Lord's trying to tell me here, and I'm not sure. And I was very discouraged though, at what I was doing. I was working. Wasn't complaining, but I just felt like I wasn't doing what the Lord wanted me to do. And I didn't have that peace about where I was. And I knew the Lord wanted me to do something else. But Pastor Greer constantly told me that you cannot do anything unless the Lord says it, speaks to you directly and calls you to do something specifically. So I prayed about it. And I took that counsel and I meditated upon it. And I wanted a word from the Lord. I wanted something positive. I wanted the Lord to tell me, go forward, do something specifically. And I got that word in verse 8 as I was praying, as I was seeking the Lord. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all." So David went. He got that positive word. He got that word to go forward, to go, because the Lord had told him to do so. And I took that to me personally, to go and pursue after those people that have been captured, those people that have been taken prisoner, sinners who need to be saved, sinners who need to be rescued from hell, from the enemy. And I felt the Lord spoke to me directly. And I told Pastor Greer about this. And he told me to pray on it. And I kept praying on it. And the desire became stronger and stronger. Until finally, I told Pastor Greer that I really must go. Because if I don't go, then I will be in disobedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he told me prepare myself and to tell me what I needed to do. And it was at this time that I told my wife about this, and my wife started to cry because not that she was upset, but she just she didn't really know what was going on in my heart. All I did was share with the Lord and with Pastor Greer, and then I did share with her that the Lord Jesus Christ was doing this in my heart. And I have to say that the Holy Spirit has really worked in my wife's heart and given her a real love for the Savior and a real desire to do His will. And I would never be able to do this without my wife. And she truly is a helpmate to me. She truly is a blessing to me. And I would never be able to do this without my wife helping me and supporting me. And I just would like to thank her publicly for all of her support and love that she's expressed to me and to Christ through the years. So I told her, the Lord came to show her that this is the will for us. So we went, and here we are. We're here down in Greenville. And again, it's an honor and privilege to be here right now, just to update you as to where I am in the school. I just finished my first year in the school, and we just finished Hebrew this summer. And I think everyone's happy about that. I don't know if Hebrew finished us. I don't know if we have anything left, but we have a few weeks of time where we can, recuperate and prepare for the next year. We start August 30th. So if you would please keep us in prayer. We do need the prayers of God's people. It is a hard school, but we serve a great Savior. And the Lord Jesus Christ has blessed me here. And I look forward to what He will do in the days ahead. Now, what do I want to do with this education? What do I want to do with this theological training? Well, I really believe that the Lord has put it on my heart to go back to Pennsylvania and start a church in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now, not everybody has a specific call, but I feel that the way the Lord has dealt with my heart and my soul, He's given me a specific place to go and minister. And I believe that he's called me back to Lancaster, Pennsylvania to start a church. And I hope churches there in that Pennsylvania area. So I would just covet your prayers that the Lord would continue to reveal that this is what I am to do. I believe with all my heart that that's what he wants me to do. But I don't want to rely on human wisdom or what I think, but I want to make sure 100% that this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to do. And I would encourage you to pray for all the students that the Lord would give us specific areas to minister to, that we might be men who start churches in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, I just like to close in a word of prayer and thank you for your attendance and attention, and just pray that you will remember me and the students before the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we do thank Thee for this time. We thank Thee, Lord, that we are found serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we're not found serving ourselves or serving a church or serving men. But, Lord, we're found serving the great God who bought us with His precious blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. We would pray, Lord, today that as we would prepare for this worship service, that, Lord, we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth, and that, Lord, the devil might be defeated today, that we might enter into the victory of the cross, that we may truly, Lord, know what it is to be filled with the joy and happiness of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill Dr. Kearns with the Word as he would preach, Lord, that we might hear a message from Thee. We thank Thee for the brethren here. We thank Thee for their love and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank Thee, Lord, that I have the privilege and honor to be here to study for the ministry. And I pray that, Lord, You will call many more into the gospel ministry. I give You the thanks, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.